Amen. Okay. All right. So Gary was sharing some of the things from the summit meeting yesterday. This was a prophetess that I had never heard of, but she was invited by Blazing Glory Ministries. And how many of us were there yesterday? Could you raise your hands? Okay. We had several people there, and there were two that were there yesterday that are not here today. But if you have any questions about what was going on there yesterday, ask these people. They might be able to give you some answers. But I wanted to go over some things because the woman had an accent, a strong Filipino accent. And I was struggling to hear all of the words that she was saying. And then the acoustics in the building weren't, it was kind of loud and echoey. So that kind of interfered a little bit. So Gary and I, when we got home together, we both had taken notes while we were there. I was taking copious notes, what I could hear. And we got home and we compared our notes together. And so I just wanted I think it's important that we know what the prophetess said yesterday. Okay? This is what she relayed to us. I know not all of you were there, but I think we all need to know what she said. Okay? We'll relay what she said and we'll leave it to you to discern if it's true or not. Okay? And so Prophetess Eunice was very straightforward in her comments. She said, God is leading us to the second coming of Christ. But she said, the church is still stuck in its old ways. The church is still stuck. She said, we need great discernment during these days. That's what Gary was just mentioning. Great discernment. We need them now. At these days that we're in. She said that we need to put our life in order so that we'll be prepared for Jesus' return. Put our lives in order. We may need to, seek God and confess some things and get some things right, but be ready for his return. It is imminent. She stressed the seriousness of the times and the shortness of the times. Guys, I didn't think, honestly, I've said it before, I didn't think I'd ever be living in these times. I didn't think so. I thought I'd be off in heaven, just watching everyone else deal with it. But here we are, we're in them right now. And so this is one of the scriptures that she highlighted, Isaiah chapter 10, and she read verses 1 through 4. So I'm going to share those scriptures now. She said, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, which are, she said, are oppressive laws. These are the things that we face today. Who write misfortune, which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice, and to take what is right from the poor of my people. The widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And in verse 3, what will you do in the day of punishment and in the desolation that will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So Prophetess Eunice was using these scriptures to actually reveal what's going on today. And so it's a warning to those who plot evil that it will not go well with you. And so she applied that scripture to what she actually witnessed in the state of Oregon. She had gone on a trip, and Gary was alluding to that also. In Oregon, she said, they keep allowing their evil laws, their unrighteous decrees, as we saw in that scripture. She said that there are large churches, large buildings in Portland, on every corner, but that these churches have been compromised. She said they've accepted the LGBTQ agenda, and they hang their six-colored flag outside of their churches. And she said the pastors preach acceptance of that lifestyle, And because they have allowed this demonic spirits, these demonic spirits into their churches, the churches are weak. They're very weak. And just as Gary mentioned earlier, hanging that flag, that six-color flag outside their churches, actually attracts the demonic. And so she also said to these churches, they're confusing the children. They're confusing the children. They're not telling the children the truth. And so she said, Portland is in ruin because of what the churches have done. They haven't stood for truth. And so the churches are weak. They've been seduced. And she said, the filth must be purged in the church before God's glory can come in. She said that the church has allowed this demonic activity to go on in Portland. The church has allowed it. And she said, remember Elijah? If you remember Elijah from Scripture, Elijah destroyed all the demonic altars. He destroyed them, and he actually killed the false prophets, if you remember. It was the fire of God that came down and did it. You remember the showdown at Mount Carmel? That was between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. Jezebel she had cared for them and she had protected them. And you could find this in 1 Kings chapter 18. So in this part of the story, Israel had been seduced they were worshiping Baal. And in 1 Kings, Elijah is showing them their error. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people answered, not a word. Not a word. The people had become double-minded. And King Ahab and all of Israel had been seduced by Jezebel to worship the prophets of Baal, to worship Baal, the pagan god. And so Elijah says, if the Lord God is God, you worship him. If Baal is God, you worship him. Let's see who it is. Let's see who is the true God. And so Elijah, you know, sets up this contest. There's going to be two altars. There will be a bull sacrifice on each of the altars. But there will be no fire lit. No man, no human will be lighting any fire to that altar. And so Elijah says that the prophets of Baal, you can call down on your God. And if the sacrifice is consumed by fire that falls, then Baal is the one true God. But he said, if I call down fire from my God and it consumes the sacrifice, then the Lord, he is God. And so, of course, you know, the prophets of Baal, they cry out to Baal. They run around the altar. They cut themselves. You know, they're doing everything they can, you know, but nothing happens. And if you remember from the story, Elijah is actually he's making fun of them. He said, maybe Baal's asleep, you know, or maybe he's out of the country today. Maybe he's not around. Maybe he's somewhere else. Maybe he's asleep. You know, so Elijah was chiding there a little bit, but then after nothing happened, Elijah goes and puts the bull on top of the altar. He puts the wood on. He puts the bull on top of that, and then he tells them to drench the altar. This is wood. Drench that altar with water. You know that water and wood don't mix. You know, it's kind of hard to start a fire if the wood is wet. But he not only once, but two times and three times. And there was a trench around this altar, and that water poured down and filled the trench, if you remember from the story. So then Elijah calls on God, and the fire falls. And the scripture says it licks up all the water, even in the trench. everything, the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and all the water in the trench. Then the people fall on their faces and they say, the Lord God, he is the true God. And so Prophetess Eunice was saying that, she was saying that to show that we are in need of God's fire today. We're in need of that fire because the church has been seduced. We need the fire of God to drive it out. The church has been seduced. We need to get our lives in order. We need to repent and follow God. And those high places that we've that the church has given, the people of the church have given high places, not to God, but to other gods. Those need to be pulled down. They got to be pulled down. Strongholds need to be broken. And we sang about that. Oh, that was so awesome. The music this morning was so in tune with the message. And so she said, you know, many of our pastors are not speaking the truth. They're not telling the people the truth. We had a couple in here last week. They go to another church, but they came to the service. And we were talking about some of these things that we're seeing, you know, happening today. And they said, you know, they don't talk about this stuff at our church, but they should. We need to talk about this stuff. We need to know, we need to discern the times, what we're seeing, what's happening before us. And so she said the filth of the church must be purged. The good news is, she said, that there is a spirit of Elijah raising up in this land. We were singing about the army of God. We're raising up. Yesterday was a beautiful gathering of God's army. Beautiful gathering. And so God, she said, God is raising a standard of righteousness against the flood of evil that we've been seeing, that we've been experiencing. And so that was basically, in a nutshell, what she shared in the morning session. I want to get to the afternoon session. What she shared in the afternoon session got me so excited. And she gave us a little bit of a, she kind of whetted our appetites a little bit at the close of the first session. She says, I'm going to show you in Scripture where Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are located. And in here, I'm like, oh, I know where she's going with that. I know where she's going with it because I've been studying it myself and seeking God about it myself. And so it's awesome. It's awesome. And she was just there confirming. You know, she was talking about the situation that we're facing today with the COVID and the vaccine mandates. And before lunch break, she said she was going to show us where Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are in the Bible, particularly in the book of Revelation. They're there. So I got excited about that. And this is what, this is the scripture I want to, actually there's several scriptures I want to show you, but she was focusing on the end times and the mark of the beast specifically is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. And we have that up there. I'm going to look at Revelation 13 and I'm going to start at verse 16 and go through verse 18. He, this is talking about the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18 says this, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. What Prophetess Eunice shared there, she said, the devil is not going to come and openly mark your right hand or your forehead. Duh. People would recognize that. No, she said, he's going to come in a back door. He's going to use a more sneaky way, like he did in the garden. He's going to be a little more sneaky. She said, that would be too obvious, you know, if he would, you know, put a mark on you. But he's going to do that. He's going to do that backdoor approach. And she said, you know, in this modern day of technology and the amazing things that that we can do with the technology, she referred to the country of Switzerland. And she said, in Switzerland, all have a microchip. Everyone's got a microchip. She said that microchip is inserted and it has all their information about them and they can buy and sell with that microchip. She also said part of Germany is chipped as well. And she said other countries will follow. They will follow. She said, and Gary mentioned this earlier, she said the vaccine mandate is conditioning people to receive the mark of the beast. You gotta know it, guys. You gotta get this in your spirit. You gotta know. She said, by taking the vaccine, the first shot, the second shot, and all the boosters, they're conditioning people to take the mark of the beast. She said, the evolution of the COVID vaccine mandate is the mark of the beast. This is Prophetess Eunice saying this, okay? And she said, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are making billions of dollars. Billions. And she said, off of this vaccine. And she said, the boosters are going to keep on coming. They're going to keep on coming. And she said, we have to have strong discernment about this. And I want to give you a quote, what she said. She said, if you don't see where this is going, you must be living on Jupiter. She was shooting straight, guys. I'm just relaying what she shared yesterday. She said, these vaccines are dividing families. She said, these vaccines are dividing churches. One church will say, y'all gotta go get the vaccine. We don't say that in this church. What we say in this church, get the facts, do the research. Listen to God. Do what God tells you to do. But this is what she said. She said, don't regret the division that's going on. Because she says that, scripture says that brother will fight against brother. That will be happening in these last days. And we're there, guys. We are there. You guys having any issues in your own family over vaccine mandates? And she goes on to say this, and we didn't get a whole lot into the science. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of science either here, but the science does not add up, guys. It doesn't add up. But anyway, she said, the vaccines are messing with the DNA that God gave to us. It's messing with the DNA. God created us in his image, in his likeness. She said the mRNA vaccines, they're different from the previous vaccines that we were getting. She said, these are live. And I don't know, I know I said it out to several of you. A doctor actually took blood out of someone who received one of the vaccines, put the blood on a microscope, under a microscope, and he actually saw like something that looked alive, like an octopus, had tentacles on it. And it was trying to get off it didn't want to be looked at. It wanted to get off the slide. So anyway, she said, these vaccines are different. Number one, they're really not vaccines, but that's what they're being called. She said, they have iron oxide in them, which they should not have. They have it's something called Luciferase. I mean, just knowing that. But you know what? Most people don't know that. They don't do the research. Lucifer. Now, if I knew something had something called Luciferase in it, do the research. Get the facts. We can't just listen to our government or to the CDC. We cannot, because they're lying. Anyway, she said that these vaccines are affecting our DNA. And so here's the scripture that I wanted to bring to you. This is the one I've been studying, and I believe she's spot on. Spot on. It's Revelation 18:23. You might want to underline this one in your Bibles. You know, here we're talking about the fall of the Babylonian system. That's our world culture. Our culture is in rebellion to God, guys. And so this is talking about that fall. So this is what it says: the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. Scripture says all the nations will be deceived by sorcery. Let's look up that word sorcery. And this is, Prophetess Eunice was bringing this out. That word for sorcery is the word pharmakia, which means medication. We get our word pharmacy from that. It means magic. It means sorcery. It means witchcraft. So Revelation 18:23 says that all the nations were deceived by pharmakia, by sorcery, by medication, by big pharma, which is witchcraft. So this is what we're seeing today with the COVID mandates. All the nations have jumped on that bandwagon. And so she said 100 countries have signed an agreement with Pfizer that they will buy their vaccine from them, and that Pfizer will not be held accountable for any problems. They signed an agreement that the countries themselves will take on, if there's any lawsuits, they will absorb that financial burden. Dina and Gary are not here today. They might be on Uber conference, but Dina shared with us last week, 2 weeks ago, her son's best friend, perfect health, went and got the vaccine, and he died the next day. And she was weeping because she said 2 months ago that had the same thing happened to my best friend. Pharmakia. She said that Brazil and Argentina did not sign on with Pfizer. At this point, they have not done that yet. And so she is a prophet to the nation. So she knows, she has a lot of information about the nation. She goes to the nations. And so she said, we have to have great discernment about what is going on today. And she said, this is the witness in you. She said that this will not confuse you, but give you discernment. You'll get discernment. Discernment is essential. She kept repeating that over and over. It's important. And so she said, now listen to this. She said, if you have received the vaccine, if you've been vaccinated, don't feel condemned. Do not feel condemned. But she said, let this information that you're receiving bring repentance. And don't allow it anymore. Stop it. She was shooting straight. She said, the blood of Jesus is our alternative solution. And it's powerful. The blood of Jesus. She said, if you get a symptom, if you have something coming against your body, you plead the blood over your body. Do you believe it or not? Is that blood powerful? Is his name powerful? We sang about it earlier. Is it just a song? No, Seth said, you know what, we know we teach this stuff here, but I actually put it into practice and it worked. Amen. Migraine's gone. And his girlfriend said, that never happened before. This stuff does work, guys. And we're here to share it. We're here to tell it. We demonstrate it. She said, we have the fire of God. We have it, church. We have the fire of God. That's the exterminating anointing for COVID, for migraines, for cancer, for whatever is coming at you. Do you believe it? That's the key. Do you believe it? She said, man has to pick up and take dominion over coronavirus. She says, we are over it. We aren't under it. But many in the church feel they're under it. They're carrying this burden. They're fearful. They're scared. They don't know what to do. They run in fear to get the vaccine. No condemnation. But we need to bring out these things that our prophets are revealing to us. We need to discuss them. It's your job. It's your position to seek God. Is this true? She continually stressed, increase your discernment. And then at the close of the meeting yesterday, she released the fire of God on everyone. Some of us, like Nancy, got knocked over. Oh, man. Woo. Burn up the sacrifice, God. Woo, we're the sacrifice. All right, so, and she also shared several things. You know, she said that, and I had never heard of her before, but she said she accurately prophesied 2 years before Donald Trump was put into presidency that he would be the president. 2 years prior. And she mentioned a bunch of other things too. I don't remember what all those were, but I just had a good connection with her. And so I want to share this also. Some of you, Kathy, Barry, Pat, and Ralph, some of you were in our home when we started as a Bible study, guys, in my little home in Macungie. We opened up our downstairs. And so we had a couple that were coming, an older couple. He's a retired pastor, Ken and Carol, if you remember Ken and Carol. They were coming to our home. Now they had to relocate. They're living in North Carolina. Yes, thank you, honey. And so I haven't really stayed in contact with them a whole lot. We've been in contact somewhat, you know, over the years. But recently, Pastor Ken called, like I think it was like last week, and he just wanted to reconnect and see where we were and all. They're just awesome, awesome people. He's a retired pastor, but brilliant, knows his word, so sensitive to the Spirit of God, awesome man. And this is what they were sharing, because we're trying to catch up on the times, right? And this is what he said, you know, when all this, you know, COVID stuff broke out and then these vaccine mandates came out, he said he and his wife sought God. And he said, God revealed to us that this vaccine is connected to the mark of the beast. And he said at that time, they both made a pact right then that neither of them will take the vaccine, none of them, no matter what happens. They will not take that vaccine. So I thought that was just kind of interesting. And I parked those kinds of things up here. And I thought, well, this is probably good timing to bring that out because it goes in alignment with what Prophetess Eunice said yesterday. And we need to have this knowledge. We need to have discernment, guys. But I want to show you something else that Gary found this. And I thought this was kind of interesting. I don't know who calculated this, but, you know, the corona is the virus. And if you add up the letters, there are 6 letters. And each of those numbers, if you take each letter of the alphabet and give it a value, A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, and so forth. And if you place those values next to the letters and you add those up, it comes to 66. Is it a coincidence? I don't know. Is it a coincidence? Don't know. Not sure about that one, but I think that we need to bear that in mind. And so, you know, we share this not to make anyone fearful. No fear, no fear, but to reveal some things that are going on today. And so, you know, one of the messages that I shared over this last series that we had, the Facing the Giants, we looked at the sons of Issachar. Remember, the sons of Issachar, they knew the times that they were in. They had strong discernment. They sought God. And they knew what to do in those times. And so all of Israel looked to them for wisdom, for direction. They all looked to them. And so, like the sons of Issachar, we need to have that discernment today as well. We need discernment in these perilous times. And you know what? I got good news for you. I got real good news for you. Scripture says that God desires that we prosper, that we be overcomers, even in these times that we find ourselves in. You know, being an overcomer has to do with our identity. We as Christians identify with Christ, right? We identify with Jesus. You know, this is football season. I'm not a real big fan of football, but many of you might be big fans of football. And you know, you may have a favorite team that you like. And a lot of people will, you know, if they have a favorite team, they might, you know, buy their jersey and wear their jersey. And you could identify them. You know, they support that team. They identify with that team. As Christians, we have to identify with Jesus, with the cross. We have to identify with him. And, you know, if people were to look at you, I don't want anyone to answer this question, but just think about it. If people were to look at you and see your life, would they be able to identify you without the jersey that you were a Christian? Would they be able to identify you? Would they make that connection? Or would you fade into the crowd like those churches in Portland? Do you stand up for Christian values even when it's not popular to do so? Do you stand up for the truth? Or do you remain silent when the opposition is very strong against you? God's calling for his army to stand up in these days. It's important. And you know what? He's watching. Our identification with Christ gives us access to the overcoming power that we need in these times, in these perilous times that we're in. We have access to be overcomers in this life, not just in the life that's to come, but right here while we're dealing with COVID and vaccine mandates and all kinds of, you know, evil. A country that predominantly is not walking with God. We are overcomers. You got to know that. We are overcomers because he has overcome. He did it. He did it for us. You know, I know it's easy to stand up in church on a Sunday and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe all that. Can you do that on Monday morning at your job, at your school? Can you even do that in your family? It's brother against brother these days. I believe that we are living in the last days. I don't know how long those last days are going to be, but I believe we're smack dab in them. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this. This is Paul. He's talking to Timothy. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They're coming. They're here. Because we're in those times. But when we look at that word perilous. That word is kelapas. Kelapas. It means through the idea of reducing the strength. It means difficult times. It means dangerous times. It means fierce, perilous times. Those are the times that we are in. They are difficult. They're dangerous. They're fierce. They're perilous. They are strength reducing. And Paul goes on to describe the characteristics of the people living in those times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, he continues in verse 2, where he says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Verse 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul advises from such people, turn away, turn away. So he's describing the character of people living in the final days before Christ's return. They have all kinds of self-centeredness, all kinds of immorality, unnatural perversions. And he says that some will even have an outward pretense that they'll have a form of godliness. They may be walking around with a Jesus T-shirt on the outside, but not having them on the inside. You know, we need to be have to have strong discernment in these days. Strong discernment. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this: "But evil men and imposters in the church, religious imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You know, we're living in a great time of deception. Lots of evil. We're living in that time. And, you know, as I said, when we were going through the Facing the Giants series, we have to know what these times are. That's why we're showing them from this pulpit. We have to know what those times are. We need to have strong discernment where we are right now. So we know what to do right here, right now. We need to have that discernment. If you weren't here for those three messages on Facing the Giants, you can. Pastor Ralph has them on Podbean, which is, do we have that up there, Joanne? www.wordoflifechurchpa.podbean.com. All three of those messages are on there. You can go and listen to them yourself. But we can be overcomers in this time. You know, we already have, if we're born again, we already have it in our DNA. It's already there. We're overcomers. Whether you feel like it or not, you're an overcomer. We have the blood of the Lamb. We have the blood of the Lamb protecting us. Revelation 12:11 says this. It says clearly, we overcome by the blood. And they overcame him, talking about our enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They didn't love their lives. They loved God more than their own life, because God had their life. God had them. Our identification with Jesus is what gives us the victory today, and whatever situation that's coming against us. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, causes us to prevail. Even in perilous times, we prevail. And we didn't know that his blood has already satisfied everything that it needed to take care of. It took care of all of our sins. If you've received that, you've received his payment, you've received his blood as payment for your sins, it's satisfied everything. We lack nothing. We have everything we need to overcome. And we're to declare the finished work of Christ during these perilous times and not be afraid to do so. You know, we need to stand up. Even in you know, we have people in our family that are clueless about a lot of this stuff. They think they have all the wisdom, and oh God, we pray for them. We pray for them. You know, we try to walk in love. I know we try to share what we know, what we do know. We try to share whatever I get information that I believe is true, and God tells me that I can share that from the pulpit, I'll share it. We try to share it. You know, someone had gotten COVID and was going to be heading to the hospital. I had to share with them, you know what? You go to the hospital, just make sure they don't give you remdesivir. You know, most people don't know to not take that. They think, well, that's what the doctors are going to give me. Yeah, those doctors, they don't know those doctors are getting paid. The hospital gets paid to give you remdesivir. They're paid. They don't tell you that. They leave that part out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. That's what happens. The day we shared that testimony, Pastor Ralph stood up and said, that's what happened to my aunt. And so we need to have knowledge. You know, Scripture says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. We have to have knowledge, guys. And it should be coming from our pulpits. Sad to say, I don't think, like that couple back, you know, I was here last week said, our church doesn't talk about any of this, but they should. Yeah. So the victory belongs to us. By the blood, by our testimony. Okay? Jesus already defeated Satan at the cross. He disarmed our enemies. You got to believe it. Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. That's where he triumphed over those demons, those principalities, those powers, in the cross. Our job now is to enforce what Jesus has already done until those demons are thrown into the lake of fire. That's our job. We're to enforce what Jesus has done. And we do that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We walk in the authority that God has given us. We got to do it. Our identity is in Christ. He's the overcomer. And because he is in us, that makes us overcomers. We're overcomers. I got good news today, guys. You don't have to be depressed about all this stuff. We're the overcomers. Ha! We exercise our authority with our mouth. That's our testimony. And we live as conquerors through the finished work of Christ. You know what? It's more important today, I believe, than ever to remind us that we are overcomers. In this time, you got to know it. We're not at the mercy of Dr. Fauci and the CDC and all of that, you know, Bill Gates and all that stuff. We have Jesus. We have the overcomer living inside of us. And he'll give me the discernment that I need to walk through these perilous times. He'll give it to you too. He'll give it to you. These are perilous days that we are living in right now. But we can live as overcomers in them. Jesus said this in John 16:33. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have what? Tribulation. Do we have tribulation in our world right now? Absolutely. But he's got good news. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has already overcome. Our relationship to him means we are overcomers too. You got to remember that every day that you wake up. Before you take your head off of the pillow. I'm an overcomer. Some symptom comes against your body. A migraine comes against your body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get out. The blood of Jesus covers me. I command every symptom in my body to come in alignment. Yes, right. With the kingdom of God. That word, I want to look at that word overcome. You're an overcomer? Well, what can you do? What is that? The Greek word for overcome is nikao, nikao. It means to subdue. It means to conquer, overcome, prevail. It means to get the victory. Amen. Come on, church. Woo! 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 We were having a fun fun time yesterday. I tell you, it was a fun time. You know, Jesus said you're going to have tribulation. Okay, yeah, we got it. All right. But he's the overcomer, and he lives in me. I overcome by his blood and by the word of my testimony. He's the one that makes us victorious. He did it. He already did it. It's already done. We're not to fear. We're not to lose heart. We're not to faint. We're to stand on the word and not be moved off of it. During this time, we're to be bold, full of faith, declaring the word. We are overcomers. We don't need to allow circumstances to overwhelm us. We are the overcomers. The overcomer lives in us. Think of that before you get up off your pillow tomorrow. Think about that. You know, this includes all the day-to-day challenges that every one of us face. We're overcomers. It deals with the challenges we face every day. And it also, we're also victorious over this woke culture that we're living in. We're victorious over that culture that is opposite God, that hates God. We are victorious. He's in us. Our identity is in Christ. We are in him, and he is in us. We have his overcoming authority in us. We have full authority on this earth as children of God. And Jesus said, he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He tells us to be cheerful. Cheerful that we're in the tribulation? No, not about the tribulation. Cheerful that he is in us. That we have his blood. His blood is more powerful than anything. His name is above every name. Every name you can name. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. And so in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that his blood paid for your sins on that cross, and you received him as Lord and Savior, guess what? You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. God says you are.
Amen, amen.
God says you are. You know, I never felt led to do this before, but you remember back last summer? I mean, it just seemed to me like evil just catapulted, you know, jumped up several notches. You know, all through that summer. And you know, Gary and I, we seek out truth. We seek out, you know, Epic Times is a good one that we connect with. We like Glenn Beck's information that he shares, very, very sound. And so I never felt to do this before, but last year when all this stuff was coming out, I thought, you know what? I want to start saving some of these articles. I didn't know we were going to get into all this other stuff, but I just started then. And so this is what I've collected. And this isn't even all of them. This isn't even all of them. But, you know, I've just been collecting them. Different articles from the New American, some articles from Morning Call. And so I just felt led to connect them, to collect them. And so when I look through all these things I started saving them from you know, like last spring, last summer, through now. Not everything, but obviously quite a number of them. And if you look through these articles, if you just flip through the titles of the articles, you'll see that how sin has just increased, how deception has increased. You see the deprivation of the souls of people in America. I never felt to do that before, but this is what I've collected. And so I do utilize news sources, but only those that I trust. But we need to know what is going on. You know, God doesn't want us to have our head in the sand like an ostrich and not know what's going on. We need to share what's happening. We need to share where we are. And so, you know, if you would look at all these articles and sit and read all of these things, you'd get depressed. Your focus cannot be on this. It's got to be right here. We are overcomers. This is where our focus has to be. This is your mirror that you look at. Jesus is an overcomer, and he's in me, and I'm in him. I'm an overcomer too. Yeah, we need to know what's going on in the world. We need to have discernment. We have to have discernment what is a lie and what is the truth. Who is authentic and who's the counterfeit? We need to know. We need great discernment. And that's what Prophetess Eunice kept saying over and over again yesterday. We need strong discernment. There's just like crazy things going on today, guys. I mean, if you're not scratching your head over, you know, some of the things. I don't know if you saw the thing that the gentleman from Loudoun County, Virginia, he went to the school board. He went to hold them accountable for what happened to his daughter. He said his daughter was raped in the school by a boy who likes to wear skirts once in a while. And they came against him. He was the enemy. We got to know what's going on in this world today, guys. We got to know. We have some serious problems. We live in very perilous times, but it's because the world doesn't have a biblical worldview. They don't have it. You know, we're teaching on Thursday mornings. We welcome you all to come out. We're teaching on a biblical worldview. We need that. We need to be reminded ourselves. What is the view? What is the view? Because there's so much filth coming at us. We need to know, because we need to be able to stand and give an answer to those who don't have a clue. And God, you know, give us the words to speak in love. Not condemn, but to speak in love, so that they can be edified, they can be equipped, that the eyes of their heart can be enlightened to what's going on too. God wants us all saved, every one of us. You know, last night, Aiden and I were starting to watch Facing the Giants. We were going to watch that movie last night. And all of a sudden, he makes this comment. He says to me, "Boys date boys sometimes." Whoa! I said, "Whoa! Where did that come from?" And he couldn't really remember. But anyway. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a lie. That's a lie. We pull that thing down. So, you know what? God wants us to know the truth and to stand up boldly and declare it. And so he will give us the words. Someone is coming on Thursday mornings, and they said, "Oh, some homosexuals just moved in next door to me, and I don't know how to reach them. I don't know what to say." And so she's excited, because we're going to be starting that Thursday morning. We're on the biblical worldview of sexuality, and I tell you, the information is incredible. It's incredible. So you might want to just come on out for that. It's good. We also need to remember in this time that Jesus was persecuted more than we are. We got to remember that. Hebrews 12:3 says this: "For consider Jesus, who endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Remember that Jesus, he had people come against him, and they're the very ones that nailed him to the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them." He walked in love even on the cross at the point of death towards the ones who put him there. he endured much more than we're facing right now. So that scripture says, you know, don't become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus says, remember what I did for you. Remember, he was victorious. He was an overcomer, and we are too. I like the scripture refers to David. You know, David was undergoing a lot of pressure himself at a certain time. Remember, his wives were taken away, his children were taken away, his men that served him, their wives and their children were taken away, and as the Bible says that his men, they want to kill him. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says this: and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. At that perilous time in his life, he encouraged himself. I want to look at that word encouraged. That word is kozak, kozak. That means to encourage. It means to be established, be recovered. It means to fortify. It means to become mighty. It means to strengthen self, to withstand. It means to mend. Many Bible versions will say that David strengthened himself in the Lord when his people were thinking of stoning him. You know, if the whole world is against you, you got to know that God is for you. He's for you, and he never leaves you, he never forsakes you. So we need to be strengthened knowing that and draw that strength from him. We need to know that he is in us and we are in him. And Isaiah 41:10, I'm going to close with this scripture. It says, fear not, church, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You can take that to the bank, because he will. Because he lives in you, he won't forsake you, he will never leave you. You've always got him with you, always. And so we do have a closing song that I want to share. Do we have that on there? Okay, thank you, Ralph.
People drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
So as we were, this is going back to the song that Seth chose about breaking the chains. And God, I believe, wants us to have a deeper understanding of that, which he has made to me very clear today, because what Pat had shared with me, Sister Pat, Rhonda had repeated, and that is that if we're going to be strong in these end times, and you know, end times, we don't know if that's going to be 2 years or 50 years, but it's approaching. Number one, we have to sever ties with areas in our life that are bringing us down. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about severing ties with unclean things. And the other thing is, and I had to learn this for myself, and it just came to head today. I've been trying to change people that have religious mindsets. And my son Nick said to me, time after time after time, quit wasting your time on them and go to people who have an open ear and are willing to receive. And I believe as I look around here, there's not one person in this place that isn't hungry for God's truth. And while Pastor Rhonda's teachings and things are great, she can't give you everything you need to get through till next Sunday morning. So I'm going to repeat what my earthly dad taught me. It never worked for him to put God off. He had to get up early enough first thing in the morning. And he ran two businesses and had five children. And he started out giving God 2 minutes a day. And I now give God hopefully a half hour minimum up to 45 minutes every day. I could not be strong, both mentally and physically, if I did not dedicate time to God. I'm grateful that you're here. Keep coming. This is your vitamin today. I had a very good friend and coworker of mine say to me this week, I don't know if we should vote for another president other than Trump because everybody hates him. And I thought about it. I didn't answer right away. I gave it 10 minutes. And I said, hey, I'd like to share something with you. They hated Jesus first. And they're going to hate Donald Trump because he represents the light of heaven. And he represents the love of Jesus Christ. And as I look back in the Old Testament, king was down, country be terrible. One would worship God, they'd be up, like you said, down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up. And if you want to stay on the up and up, you got to make time for God. And I don't mean to set that as a law, because, you know, but it's a truth. You have to make time, or it's you're just not going to be strong enough. You're going to be like the Christians that are falling away. So look for like-minded believers and fight the good fight. Amen. I said one word, but you know.
This just kept coming to me. I don't know if I heard it here, but I heard it many other places. But there's a counterfeit and there's the real. And when they get counterfeit money, they don't study the counterfeit money to know what is real. They study the real. And then when you're studying the real, you're going to recognize the counterfeit. So if you're not in the Word and you're not studying and you're not a doer of the Word, you're not going to really recognize when the deception comes. So keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and staying close to Him and abiding under His shadow. It says in Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, and this is part of it, he wants us to say, You are my refuge, my fortress, my God, in you will I trust. And make this personal. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And he, you know, you could say he will deliver you from the from COVID-19. He's going to deliver you from all hurt, harm, accident, disease. And a confession of this is really going to get into your heart where you're really going to trust, because fear will attract whatever it is you're afraid of. And if you think too much about the coronavirus, and I know we have to know, I'm not saying that we don't have to be informed, we have to be informed, but the minute you feel fear rising up, look to God, look to his word, and start confessing what God's going to do for you. Because, you know, he is your shield. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the COVID that, you know, that's spreading all over the place, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And then he said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So he's promising us long life, but, you know, we have to set our love upon him, and I think everybody else here does. As long as you just keep close to him, he's going to protect us if we believe that. But if we're afraid of getting COVID and we're afraid of what's happening, you know, that'll draw closer to us. So it's just a matter of when you start to feel the fear, you know you're dwelling and thinking on the wrong thing. Get off of that and go to his word and his promises. So I just want to say that.
One of the things that Prophetess Eunice said yesterday too is that the pharmaceutical industry is being paid by they want our military and they want our embassies. Why? Why do they want payment with our military and the embassy? I mean, that blew my mind away. That just like totally blew my mind away, because they want to take over. They want to take over.
Well, just in sharp contrast to all of the crazy things that are going on, there is such a great movement of God, right? And and thanks to modern technology today, I can't vet it, but I saw a short clip of 80,000 people in a stadium praising Jesus. So this is a vision I've had since I was a little kid. Because I always thought the football stadiums, they didn't make sense to me when I was little. I loved the Lord and I wanted to see them filled with people singing to the Lord. We're seeing it! Praise the Lord.
So the thought here is to stand on the shoulders of what Sister Joanne said about fear, and then to stand on a thought around what Brother Barry said around spending time with God and the secret hiding place. The secret hiding place with God is revealed in conversation with God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, as long as you are uninterrupted in your conversation with God, you are in that secret hiding place. The sound of his voice in your ears is what the secret hiding place sounds like. But what does it look like? The secret hiding place looks like when you're out there loving God the only way you can, and that's by loving one another. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So when we are, in spite of all the things that are happening around us, tempting us to be distracted. When John the Baptist was beheaded, Jesus, when he was informed of what took place, actually said, tell that fox that today and tomorrow and the next day I will heal, the blind will see, this, that, and the other. He kept in conversation with God, with his hands, with his feet, where the lowly are concerned. So we grow up when we upgrow love in others. So I say that to encourage you. And concerning fear, the Bible says in Psalms in chapter 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So that means if fear is near, see yourself taking the fear wherever it is and giving it to God. Therefore, if you give it to him, it's no longer yours. And thereby, it is now called fear of the Lord. Amen.